Welcome everybody to the very first episode of Metal Freedom. I am your host, Jay Hill, or as some of my friends in the metal community calls me, Jammin' Jay. So, with that being said, I have a up-and-coming metal band right in front of me, and you can see them sitting there. Psychonson, welcome to the very first episode of Metal Freedom. I'm honored to be here. With you guys sitting here in front of me, this is not a super stream where, you know, they're in their own house, I'm in my house. We are together doing this, and this is a first. So welcome, all you guys.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah. So talking about metal music, everybody, metal music and as of late has been up and coming. And there's been a lot of different new bands that are really kind of breaking ground with some of the mainstream stuff that's been going on. So why doesn't my audience listen to you guys explain, you know, who you are, what you do, what position you play, and just be yourself. So go ahead. Whoever's first.
I'm Jesse the Terrifier. I play drums.
I'm Uncle J-Rock. I'm on the vocals.
Ali Doom. I play rhythm and lead guitar.
Nice. So, tell us how you guys got started together. Whoever goes first.
You start that one.
So, me and a former member always grew up together. Always wanted to be in a band. And it was about 20 years ago, and we're jamming, but like, Nothing came of it. So fast forward to last year, we started jamming, and long story short, I was totally serious about the band, and he really wasn't, and we could see that. And then in comes Jesse the Terrifier on drums, and me and Jesse are just gung-ho. I mean, we're live, breathe, eat, sleep, die, you know, Psychonson. And unfortunately, he wasn't into it, which is all good, but I guess it just wasn't for him. So we were on a little hiatus, and then it was my 40th birthday. And before that, we made a video, didn't we?
Yeah, so they had already written, two songs?
Two songs.
I ended up picking up this drum pad from, this free thrift store, right? I'm come over, let's jam out. Was going well, and like you said, buddy, our old guitars just didn't really have the passion we did.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to play, our first show was Jordan's 40th birthday.
Correct.
And made a video and everything, we're ready to go, and it just kind of stopped. We didn't get to play on his 40th birthday.
We parted ways, and then our performance on my 40th birthday was canceled, and then the day that we parted ways, me and Jessica Terrifier made a live video and shared it to both our Facebook over Facebook. Social media saying we're looking for a new guitar player if anybody's interested. And our good buddy tagged Ali Doom in the post, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I have been playing guitar 20 years or something like that, and played in a few bands throughout that time, and really recently just decided I kind of wanted to. I was inspired to go and do more with it. Obviously not getting younger, want to do more. And tried making a doom metal band with another friend of mine. And, just through schedules and working stuff, it just didn't work out. So I was kind of on the hunt looking to get into, some metal band or, whatever. And, they had made that post, and they were a doom metal band, and I was like, wow, that's pretty, pretty specific kind of what I was looking for. So I was like, well, you know, hey, let's go hang out with these guys, jam with them, and see what they're about. I think we got here, and I got here. Well, I came for your birthday.
Right.
Just hung out with the guys.
I invited Ollie Doom 2 days before our actual audition, just to get a feel for us, and it's my 40th birthday, and to see who, the kind of people would be interested in Terrifier hang out with.
Yeah, and so then we did that practice, the first practice we got here, you know, kind of set up. And like, yeah, we got, you know, I think they had a couple songs, but really only one, which was Dark Days, that they really wanted to keep.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, you know, let me hear it, let me listen to it, and they, you know, they played for me. It was kind of hard to kind of tell what was going on. I could hear his vocals, I could hear the drums, but the guitar was kind of, I couldn't really tell. I got a basic rhythm of it, I would say. You know, played around with it, ended up kind of rewriting the song, like the musical part of the song.
And it's a banger.
We rewrote it, added a ton to it, just kind of really made it into like a real nice, solid song. You know, we jammed it out a few times, and basically, from there, they're like, hey, are you joining the band? And I'm like, well, I saw two guys that were super passionate, right? And
mm-hmm.
That was the most important part to me. You know, I'm willing to have a commitment, even newer musicians, things like that. That didn't bother me. They were super passionate and super excited about this. And that's what I wanted to hitch my wagon on. You know, I wanted to be a part of a band that wants to be a band and really wants to you know, play shows and record an album, do whatever, right?
Right.
They had a lot of inspiration and excitement. So, we just started, did the one song, and then we just started going from there.
Nice. So, I've set in one of your practices, and you guys really do have something going on, and I've been around music, you know, a lot in my life and a lot of different musicians. And, from what I could tell is that your connection is pretty tight. So, having said that, is there something that you both or that you three really have in common besides the music and the passion? You know what I mean? Is there something that kind of connects you guys? I mean, are you like
horror movies?
Right. I mean, yeah, anything like that, you know.
I would say horror movies, but I would say, in my own opinion, I mean, these guys might think differently, but like growing up, I would say all of us three were the underdogs, you know. In high school, we were kids that were the misfits, maybe once in a while picked on because we were wearing metal shirts, and just we were the outcasts, you know. And we weren't gonna conform to nobody, but like just have fun, and you know, and if you're good to yourself, good to other people, that's all that matters, in my opinion.
Right.
And
right,
we were just living the, you know, the rock and roll metal lifestyle, and obviously, all three of us know what's right and what's wrong, and we chose right, and we grew up, and we all found each other. We're all from the same area. They were all from Jones City, Lake Geneva area. We call ourselves a Walworth County band. I just can't say enough of these guys. I mean, they're my brothers already. I mean, I've been with Jesse the Terrifier obviously longer than Ollie Doom, but I love this guy more than I love myself,
because
he's just a great human being along with Jesse, and I'm very proud to.
He's very patient too, because I've only been drumming since March.
Right,
so that was
my
big deal when he came to try out.
Mm-hmm.
I tell Jordan, I'm like, Mark doesn't want to deal with me learning as we go, you know?
Right.
He's been very patient, very helpful. I don't know. It's just like
it's moment. Yeah, I agree. It's moments like that, you know, when you find a group of guys together, you know, like you guys, and I could sense that and see that, you know, and part of, you know, what I do in my other shows and dealing with the spiritual world and dealing with, you know, paranormal and whatnot. You know, I see that, you know, I see that connection you guys have. And that, to me, is the making of something great, you know. And with you guys, basically, you know, loving the music that you love. I mean, we could talk about thrash metal. We could talk about, you know, down to Sinatra. You know, I mean, I like all kinds of music, and I know you guys do too, you know, but when it comes down to brass tacks, it's with you guys and that, you know, thrash metal, heavy metal, you know, stuff that is going to make people think and move people, you know? So let me ask you, Jordan, when you first started singing or realizing that you had a voice for that, was it something that kind of overcame you, or was it something that you've always wanted to do, or was it just something that you just kind of fell into?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Jay. When I was in middle school, and every day after school, I'd crank my tunes in my room, and I would do all these rock moves and just dance in my bedroom, and then go to dances, like middle school dances and Y nights. We had Y nights back then at the YMCA where there were dances.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And when the metal song came out, like Marilyn Manson or Metallica, Korn, all those bands that were huge in the 90s when I was in middle school, I had, kid you not, the whole entire dance that was in attendance of the Y night would form a circle around me, and I would do all these rock moves in front of the whole dance. And that's when I actually felt like I was a rock star, mm-hmm. that 15 minutes of fame when I was in middle school. And then fast forward to, I would say, 2006-07, I started doing karaoke at a local bar here in Lake Geneva. And that's where I kind of found my vocals, because I would always want to do metal songs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it. And also, here in the living room for many years, I mean, growing up with my father and my mom, we'd always have, behind here, it was nothing but you see here now, but it was we call it the wall of sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a natural PA, it was a big, huge PA system in this living room. And my dad bought two microphones just to mess around. And I'd always have to wait till they left, they'd leave to go, shopping or something, because they didn't like me screaming on the mic when I was a young kid. For some reason, they didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And that just made me want to do it more and more. Yeah. And so many times, I'd be screaming on the mic and learning how to scream, and they'd come in from, and I would just be so scared and get pissed off. But later on, they knew, like, you know, that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't say it. I mean, obviously, that's everybody's dream to, you know, do this forever. Occupation.
Right,
and
right.
This is my life. Music, metal's my life. And I'm also a big mental health advocate,
mm-hmm.
with metal music as well.
Right, right. Yeah, we had talked a little bit about that, too, when I was over here last time. And I know that you're a huge advocate of mental health, which I think is, you know, in my opinion, I think it's kind of been swept under the rug a little bit, and I don't feel that it hasn't really been given the attention it needs. People are, you know, like you are trying to make a difference in that, you know? And so if you want, you could talk a little bit about that, you know, what some of your thoughts are and what your concerns are and, you know, what drives you to make that an important part of your life.
Very good question. Jay, well, first, right out the gate, I will tell everybody out there, I suffer from mental health pretty much my whole life. I was diagnosed in 2004 with bipolar, schizophrenia, and manic depression. In and out of mental wards from 04 to 06, very clinically sick. I was pretty much clinically psychotic for 3 years. And just staying out of drugs and being religious with my meds, I got better and, you know, thank, you know, the Lord above. And as I got older and older, because I keep going back to, you know, Health and Human Services here in Barth County, because I get an injection every 2 weeks for, mm-hmm. medicine. And just seeing people that were, you know, were in my state years ago, because I can relate, you know. And I'm trying not to get emotional here, but I see what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So and I was telling them, you know, don't give up, because there's always light at the end of the tunnel, because even when you feel all hope is gone, it's never gone. But and then also me and my sister, we organized the very first metal festival in Wisconsin history to fully support and raise money for mental illness. And this year we're shooting for early winter for our fourth festival under our belts.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, I mean, it seems as though it's, you've taken something that's affected your life in a way where it could have been a terrible thing, that you've actually turned it around and it benefited you in a way where you could help others.
Yes.
And in today's day and age, it's so far few in between, I guess, that the fact that people can recognize that, you know, there's a lot of people that are trying to do good work around it with that. But let me ask you guys, when you realize that, you know, you've been friends with him for a while, Jesse, and you realize that, you know, some of the struggles that he has gone through and whatnot, how did that impact you on you being his friend and being there, man, with him?
Let me tell you. So I knew Jordan back in high school, but like we didn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
But actually added him on Facebook a couple of years back, you know. He added me back. I was going through some shit. Ended up going back and living with my parents in the basement, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was in a bad spot, real bad. And he invited me over. I forgot what we did. We went somewhere, dude. I don't remember. Went somewhere, we just hung out, and it was just like an instant bond. And like, whenever I was down or needed like somebody,
mm-hmm.
like he was the one. Like, I've slept on that couch so many times. He's always been there, and it's just, I don't know, forever grateful. It's just, it's weird. It's weird how shit works out.
Right.
And
so
like, it's everything, like, because I also was diagnosed with anxiety, depression, which I feel a lot of us have anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's real, man. It's real.
Right. Right.
And like,
when you realize that something like that you have that effect in a friendship, you know what I mean, and that connection with you guys, I can kind of see that. You know, there are people out there that will not want to approach you, and that to me it's difficult to see. You know what I mean? But the way you guys, you know, came together, and you know, you guys are friends. You know, and I could see that. And I think that's great. So I was just kind of curious to see how that kind of affected you, because you just described, you know, he's been there and I've been there, you know, and you guys have kind of helped each other. So, and then you came in the mix. And how did you feel about these two when you first started, you know, wanting to jam, or, you know, even becoming friends with Jordan?
Yeah.
You know, you knew a little bit about his history and a little bit about, you know, some of the stuff that he's been through, but that didn't stop you from being his friend.
Yeah. So, me and Jesse went to high school together. We weren't like friends or anything like that, but we like knew each other. You know, and Jordan had been out of the Genoa City area, which is kind of where I grew up too. So the people that were mutual friends with spoke about Jordan in a very, very high characteristic way. Like, just, he's just a great dude.
Mm-hmm.
Just a ton of character, just a good person, the kind of guy you're going to want to be around, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in my position and my thought process in life is that, like, I don't have a million friends.
Mm-hmm.
I have acquaintances, and then I have a handful of friends because I'm very selective on the people that I want to be around.
I totally agree with that.
Right.
Yep.
and they have to fit a certain, you know,
criteria.
Yeah. Just a certain way, you know.
Yep.
And Jordan was a good dude, and Jesse was a good dude, and you know, there wasn't any like awkwardness or weirdness or anything like that. You know, we talked music and horror and all these things, and all stuff that I grew up loving, you know. And, you know, I've been surrounded in my life with mental illness, you know, or mental health. I shouldn't even say mental illness, you know, mental health things. You know, my mother, my grandmother suffered from mental health issues. My oldest son is on a spectrum. So it's a patience thing, right? And you learn to have patience with people and listen to people and want to understand. And when you have that patience and you learn to understand people, you know, it's easy enough to shun people away because they're not like you, or they're not, you know, have the same mental capacity as you, or things like that. But then you're kind of robbing yourself of the ability to talk to people. Kind of get to know people in the world and, you know, see some other things. So, no, these guys are, you know, like I said, they're very welcoming too. You know, I never felt, I've been in other bands. I've joined other bands. I've not joined other bands. And I've gone over and felt super awkward and like, hey guys, like, how's it going? And I never felt that way here. So,
That's cool.
It just made me feel like I said, with their passion and their love for the music and wanting to do this, it was just right fit.
It was a no-brainer. Right on. That's cool. So, you know, I would be more than happy with you, Jordan, if you we could set something up in the future so I could put a link out on Encompass Media, you know, about the shows and stuff like that, so that, you know, kind of get the word out there a little bit more, because, you know, I truly believe in the work that you're doing with the mental health, and I think that you guys and the support with that is important. And so we can, you know, get together sometime and try to really get that out there so people can be aware of that a little bit more, especially, you know, where we're at. We're in a smaller community, and, you know, even though that we live in a right outside of a town that's more of a tourist town, but that doesn't mean that we can't, you know, get it out there.
Absolutely. And you know, means a lot to me that
you definitely.
Right here, man.
All right. So, shifting gears, I got to get into some of the music that you guys all like. Some of the stuff that we discussed off the air, you know, some of the stuff that you like, that I don't personally care for, but, you know, it's music, it's metal. That's great. So talk a little bit about, Jesse, talk a little bit about some of your influences and some of the things that you would never have thought would have influenced you, but it did.
Dude, I don't know, man. Like, you want me to talk about the bands that I like that I listen to a lot?
Right. Well, what bands kind of gotten you to where
I want
to
play?
I want to play.
Oh, dude, Slipknot. Dude, I want to jam hard like Slipknot, dude. No, Slipknot. I mean, I don't know. I love Iron Maiden. Just their stage shows are fucking incredible, dude.
It's an all encompassing. I get it.
Hey, I mean, there's so much. Like, Korn got me into metal. We had that discussion.
Yeah, we did.
There's so much bands I can name, just metal in general.
Okay, think about
play.
What would you say would be a band that you didn't like at first, and then kind of turned you around to be like an influence?
Dude, you know what? The Foo Fighters.
Really?
Hell yeah. I love me some Foo Fighters. I always talked shit about the Foo Fighters, dude. And then as I got older, I don't know why.
Shout out to Dave Grohl.
Right. They're great. They're great.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
There's something about them.
Right. And I kind of felt that way too when I first was you know, and I really didn't care for the 90s at all. And then I kind of, you know, because I'm old. And I grew up in the 70s, you know, 70s and 80s. So I you know, 80s hair band, you know, Rat and Poison, all those guys. But I still like metal. I still like, you know, Testament and Slayer, all those groups. You know what I mean? Oh, so, So, Jordan, your turn. What would be something that would have inspired and like giving you an inspiration, and then find a band that you didn't really care for, but then you liked?
All right, so bands that inspired me, I mean, I tell everybody this. I was 6 years old in 1991, and this is what started my love of not just metal, but music in general. We went to the Kenosha. It was like Kenosha Outlet Mall back then, and they had a little record store in there in 91. My dad took me in his old white Chevelle, and it was Metallica's Black Album release day. It was 91, I was 6 years old, and he got it on cassette. This is way before we graduated the CDs. And he bought it on cassette, we got in the car, and here, put this in, son. And right there, I mean, the first track, Enter Sandman, it changed my life. I mean, even as a young six-year-old kid, like, that's all I wanted to do is listen to music. I remember in kindergarten when I was 6 years old, maybe first grade, I'd write on a piece of paper during class, you know, first grade or you know, if I was in kindergarten, I can't remember. And I'd write on my piece of paper, James Hetfield, rhythm guitar, Lars Ulrich, drums. And that's what I was doing at 6 years old. And I'll be honest with you, I was not the greatest student because...
Don't feel bad, I wasn't either.
I live, breathe, and die metal. And that's my whole life. I mean, it's my number one passion. Number two would probably be horror movies. And then, well, I mean, first and foremost, family and friends. And my friends are my family. But, like, number one, like, music. Music is everything to me. But metal, first and foremost. Metallica, they're the first tattoo I got. I got the Ninja Star up here tattooed on me, like, 5 years ago. And then I'm very grateful and fortunate that I've seen them 8 times now live.
Wow.
First time was in 1998 on the Reload tour, and they actually opened with Bread Fan, Budgie cover song, and it was just crazy. I mean, real quick, I'll tell you a quick story. Back in the 90s, Metallica tickets sold out the day of I went on sale. I mean, that was way before the digital age. I mean, you have to go to like a Piggly Wiggly to get mastered and stuff. All that stuff. And 2 weeks before the show was at the Marcus Amphitheater. Now it's called the American Family Insurance Amphitheater. But I always still call it the Marcus. But anyway, 2 weeks before the show, I'm out at the bus stop. I'm in seventh grade, and my dad comes up and he says, "Hey, son, a guy at where he gets his lumber, you know, we're in deck building business." He's like, "A guy at Dunn Lumber offered me $3,000 for our 2 tickets, and he said if you want to sell them, I'll split the money with you, give you $1,500, and I'll take you up to Mall of America," and absolutely. 100% right away after he said, like, "Fuck no, we're going to see Metallica." I didn't give a fuck about buying anything at the mall. And I still have never been to Mall America. I don't care to.
Right. You're not missing much. Right. I've been there,
I've never been there. And that Metallica show was one of the greatest things of all time. They did songs on that tour that they don't even dare to do anymore.
Right.
It's so rare they pull out Believing Me or, I mean, they did acoustic. A little acoustic set in the middle of the show. They did Low Man's Lyric and Poor Twisted Me, I think, up a load. But I mean, I'm an all fan attack. I'm not just one of those guys. Oh, past the Justice for All, fuck them type shit. I love every era of Metallica because it's just Metallica. It's not this era. It's Metallica. And I truly believe that if Cliff Burton never died, they would have done the same thing. Because look on Ride of Lightning, they wrote the ballad Fade to Black.
Right, right.
And even Cliff says in the interviews before he died, we don't have to, we're still a metal band, we don't have to go 1,000 miles an hour.
Just, yeah, you know, that's true.
But Metallica is my favorite band of all time.
Okay.
But the answer to your second part of your question, a band that I didn't like at first and then influenced me. So... in high school, I seen all these kids wearing these shirts with this band that had face paint on them. And it was Mudvayne. And LD50 was the first album. And I just didn't give them a chance. Like, that shit sucks. Just listen.
See? Secrets coming out now. This is why we do this.
So, fast forward 2 years later, I'm a junior in high school. And all of a sudden, end of all things to come is their second album and it drops. And I'm on Laser 103 driving down Bloomfield Road going to get something to eat or whatever. And I hear it not falling on the radio. And boom, that was a fucking game changer. Instantly, the biggest Mudvayne fan of all time. I follow them everywhere they go. It was Illinois, Wisconsin, or anywhere I could get to. I was at their shows. I met Mudvayne multiple times over the years. Met Chad. Been on tour buses with Chad Gray, the singer of Mudvayne. Hell yeah. They're one of my favorite bands of all time. They're in my top five for sure, bands of all time.
Right on.
And I also love Chad Gray's writing, because he talks a lot about like mental health and like, because he had a rough time himself growing up with his father being a very abusive alcoholic and a woman beater to his mother.
Mm-hmm.
He had to see that growing up, and a lot of his writing is from that.
Mm-hmm.
And with our song "The Dark Days," I wrote. I mean, it's pretty much the song is about my life. I'll never really say that on stage, but
mm-hmm.
I call it "The Dark Days" because I always say it, from 04 to 06, I call that those were the dark days of my life.
Right.
And if it wasn't for one kid, his name's Evil Ian Moulter. he was the only kid that was not afraid of me. And he's a lifelong friend. Our dads, both of our dads grew up together and were kids as well. And people would ask me, hey, how's Jordan doing? Because I was seriously out of my mind psychotic for 3 years. I mean, mm-hmm. I was very sheltered and I couldn't go to certain activities. I couldn't go to concerts when I wanted to because I couldn't handle it.
Right.
Because I needed time to go back into society. And, Evil Ian, he pretty much lived at my house for 3 years and was my biggest supporter, and I can't thank him enough.
Hmm.
And I actually wrote a little lyric in The Dark Days, and I mentioned Evil Ian in the song as well. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Wow. So.
My turn?
Yes, it is.
So, like I said, so my father, I came from a family of musicians.
Okay.
So my father played guitar before me, had a brother that played guitar, had an uncle that played guitar. Music has always been around me. My dad played a lot of Southern rock. So, think Lynyrd Skynyrd, mm-hmm. Allman Brothers, all those classics, right? So that music was always very present in my life. One of the bands that was also super present in my life was Led Zeppelin. That was my dad's absolute.
Amen to that.
Yeah, absolute favorite band of all time.
Yep, and I'm guilty of that too.
Yeah, it's one of my very favorites of all time as well. And it served as a huge inspiration in my guitar playing as I grew up. Jimmy Page was just someone that I idolized.
Mm-hmm.
His style is things that I really adapted into my style of music, of how I play music. Another band that really my dad kind of introduced me to that served as the other huge inspiration, especially into this music, is Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Black Sabbath, original lineup, Ozzy Osbourne, Tony Iommi, Geezer Butler, Bill Ward. Tony Iommi, just such a huge inspiration. Again, lots of him in my guitar playing.
Mm-hmm.
And those two were probably the biggest influences I had as a musician. I 100% love Metallica, one of my great favorite bands of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Love Pantera, love a lot of those great metal bands. I also, the first band that I ever, that got me into metal was Korn. Korn and White Zombie, that was the first metal band I ever got into. was obsessed with Metallica for years and all that, but everything always comes back in my mind to those two bands, right? Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for those two bands, metal would not exist.
Mm-hmm.
They really served as the inspiration to hard rock, metal, all that. And to me, it's, again, the just the biggest inspiration for me. As far as a band that I had to come back around to, so it was definitely without Just, and did not even, quite frankly, there's a lot of 90s alternative bands, and I love grunge and I love alternative rock, but there were some bands that I just didn't put any attention to, just because I just didn't, right? And there was a band, Queens of the Stone Age, that I just didn't put any attention to until
I'm
many.
Still there, bro.
You will get there. You will get there.
I love Queens.
No, that I do. I like them too.
They are, you know, and the thing is, they became a huge inspiration for me in the whole doom metal thing because, you know, Josh Holm was the guitar player of Caius, which was a doom metal band, right? And, you know, in doom metal, traditionally, it's tuned down, right? From you know, Tony Iommi tuned down his guitar 1.5 steps down to C sharp because he cut his fingers off in a song, right? So they had it tuned down, and they were playing through Laney amps, and they had the volume up real loud, so it made a real heavy, fuzzy tone. And that started doom metal, right? And, it's, you know, in Queens of the Stone Age, they're C standard tuning. They play with fuzz. They play the same, licks and, some of the same, you know, ways that a doom metal band plays, right? Because that's what his history was. So, that was really my inspiration initially getting into doom, was I was kind of like when I was with my old, band. Our initial thing was like, hey, I'd like to play like a Queens of the Doom Age like band. That'd be fun. And then like that opened up this all these different doom metal bands that I wasn't aware of, and really expanded my whole horizon of like of that doom metal genre. And I always loved Black Sabbath. Still, always will love Black Sabbath. It's the, one of the greatest bands of all time. And to have a whole genre that is basically in inspiration of Black Sabbath is it became like my favorite genre of metal there is now.
Wow, that's really cool. I mean, so that leads to my next question, which would be, what would you classify yourself as a band?
Doom metal.
We're saying doom metal
for sure. Yeah, we're a doom metal band. There is influences of other music, which I think happens in any band, right? I think if you look at, you know, I'm wearing the sword right now, and you listen to them, they're doom metal, but they definitely, like, you can hear the Metallica, like, thrash-like influences. I mean, I think for us, like Dark Days, we always laugh. It's not really that much of a doom.
It's like a doom ballad, we call it.
Doom ballad. That's a new
one.
It's
kind of got its new metal influences for sure. But it's got like some doom vibes going on too. So I think at the center of it, doom. But I think there's inspirations from a lot of the other things.
Yeah, when I was at your practice, I was kind of trying to figure out what, you know.
Hopefully it's
true. That's right.
Like their own genre, like psychos. Be like,
yeah, they can't look
Yeah. Right. I don't think anybody really does.
Yeah.
You know, and ever since I saw them in the 90s, I didn't know what they were then. And so,
And I think that's more what it is. Like I said, I think we stay at the heart of it. Like, hey, we're a doom metal band, but like we don't strictly stay.
Would it be honest to say that diversity would be kind of an important fiber in your core of playing music? Is that you want to be a little diverse? You want to, you know, you don't want to just stick to just one
thing.
Right.
You know? I mean, and I think a lot of bands have that happen too. They said, oh, we're this, but then they start expanding and realize that they were never really that. You know, they weren't really just thrash, or they weren't just, you know, pop music, you know, or whatnot for pop metal or whatever. You know, they had undertones.
Yeah, and Metallica said that great example. They were
they are a good example of that. Yeah,
thrash, well, for the most part, because they were like punk metal mixed together.
Right.
It became thrash, but then they moved on to be so much more than just thrash.
They became more musicians.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
With Load and Reload, they're the true. I mean, in my opinion, the best hard rock albums ever in the 90s. I mean, those are hard rock albums.
Right, right. I wouldn't say that they were thrash, but they were.
No, I mean, that was strictly amazing, bluesy, hard rock.
Right.
But, I mean, is it metal too? Of course, but, I mean, some of those songs on Load, and, of course, Reload as well, are just opuses.
And I think that goes to speak volumes with Bob Rock, their producer.
Yeah.
Just because the simple fact that he was good at what he did, you know? And I think that he was a really big influence, especially with some of the bass lines and Load and Reload, and, you know, with Jason Newsted being there. And I love Jason Newsted's other projects too. Echo Brain. I mean, a lot of people don't know too much about that. You know what I mean? So, I give props to Jason Newsted for doing what he did, and, you know, even the contribution of his, you know, all his stuff that he went through with Metallica,
right?
You know, and the same with Dave Mustaine, you know, now has Megadeth, you know, I mean, so, I mean, yeah, and we.
We're gonna get time to debate.
Say nothing.
What's so funny?
We love Megadeth. We love Metallica. I'm just tired of people sitting down in front of Dave Mustaine and then putting him like down, saying, "Hey, what do you think about Metallica?" And he gets to go through the whole thing again. Like, we all know how he feels. We all know how
we all know
the history. I'm just tired of it.
Right. No, and I totally get that too. A lot of people are, you know, tired of that and tired of other stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's just the fact that going back to the 80s, you know, when they all started, you know, you even got Testament, and you've got Slayer, and you've got
Exodus,
you know, where, you know, Kirk Hammett came from, you know, and then you've got Anthrax, and, you know, so there's so many different, you know, bands back then. That was my, you know, era.
Yeah.
You guys are more of a 90s babies, which is fine.
Right.
I'm not, you know, picking at
but that's
you.
What I grew up, and that's what we grew up, right?
Exactly. You know, but I can appreciate some of the stuff. We talked a little bit about grunge. You know, you talk about Alice in Chains. I really like Alice in Chains and Silverchair. Yeah, I just saw a good.
I mean,
Local H.
Dude, oh yeah, and there was Local H too.
In the 80s was the best because it birthed thrash metal and it birthed death metal,
right?
And black metal as well,
right?
And 90s, I mean, people hate on this, but it birthed nu metal.
Right.
And I love nu metal, and I always love nu metal, and they get shit on all the time, but bands like Slipknot and Mudvayne, Linkin Park,
Mushroomhead,
I love all those bands.
It was the natural progression, though. Like,
You
saw where metal was going, and then we were like...
It was kind of inevitable. Going. Right.
You know, those were two, like, against the grain type of music, and inevitably, like, you saw first was with Anthrax and
Public Enemy.
Oh yeah, when that happened, my mind blew up.
That first, or was it Aerosmith and Run DMC?
Was first, but that was
that's
more
really
that was
fresh.
More no that was
yeah,
just
that
more
metal.
Hard rock
not,
or
not that's hard rock.
But
yeah,
like, you saw this natural progression. You knew these things were inevitably going to meet, right? And it took a band. You know, like Korn, right? And I really serve Korn, and I think, you know, I said White Zombie earlier, but Korn really is the forefront of
new
metal, where they're like, we're gonna do hip hop beats and heavy ass music,
that bass,
and the bass, like, on some ridiculously low tuning. But, you know, they're gonna progress together, and that's just what naturally happened. And you got bands, and you got some good bands, you got some bad bands. You got Limp Bizkit, which we talked about earlier. Like, for like 15 years, it wasn't cool to admit that you were a fan of, but now it finally came back around. And now I can say I was a fan of Limp Bizkit again.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, you know, talking to going when you mentioned Run DMC and Aerosmith, I was in high school when that came out, and it was cool. I mean, it was just
you liked it.
Yeah, I did. You know, I really did. I also listened to a lot of, you know, hair metal. I listened to Motley Crue. I listened to, you know, Poison. I seen Poison. I listened to Def Leppard. I saw Def Leppard 3 times. You know, I mean, so you know, I've been to a lot of different concerts, but there was so many different genres now. There are so many different genres now in that sense. You know what I mean? And that people, it's kind of hard to keep up with.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like.
I mean, metal, there's, seriously, there's like over 1,000 mini subgenres.
Yeah.
Never in the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about that earlier. Remember, and it was like, I don't even know what all the different ones are. And he's like, I'll teach you. And I'm like, I've been a metal my whole life, and I still
know. I know a lot. I mean, but I don't know all, obviously.
Right. So, I mean, you guys seem to feel pretty good, you know, about the different aspects of all the music that's coming out, and it's still out there, you know. And I mean, I don't think none of it is really that I can tell is really taken a nosedive. I mean, I think all of it is all kind of progressing in its own level. You know what I mean? So when I talk to other people about metal and stuff like that, they, you know, they have different things that they like, and then there's ones that they like the old stuff they like, so it's a kind of a eclectic of different views, you know what I mean? So, and I think with you guys having a different background in every type of music, you talk about Led Zeppelin, love Led Zeppelin, you know, and you talk about Metallica, you know, and you talk about, you know, Mudvayne or
Foo Fighters,
you know what I mean? So there's different the different backgrounds really do play a big role in, you know, shaping what kind of music you guys really want to play. I mean, there has to be that influence has to come from somewhere, you know, whether it be personal experience, life experience, or, you know, music experience, or knowing somebody that has that influence, you know what I mean, in music or as a person. I mean, so there's so many different variances of energies that come at you to inspire you to play music. I've always wanted to be a musician. I play guitar. I suck at it, but I never had the patience to do it. You know, I could do little things, but I just wanted to go to LA and do a lot of drugs and, and, you know, meet chicks. That's at 19. That's where I was. Where I wanted, you know. But I knew that if I would have took that route, I wouldn't be here doing this interview now.
Right.
So
I'm glad you didn't do that route.
It would have ended probably within 6 months. Yeah. It would have been, I would have been on so many different drugs that I would have died. Yeah. But so there were certain reasons why I didn't, but I'm glad that I got that experience with other musicians. I've met some great musicians. I've met some great people that should have been musicians, but couldn't because they couldn't even get out of their own way, you know, and that's sad, but that's the path that they chose. And that's, you know what I mean? I mean, so when you see somebody, it's like, man, he'd be a really good singer if he could just stop doing so-and-so.
I have a friend
like that, you know what I mean?
Older gentleman, fucking shreds on guitar, shreds, just never went anywhere. He was held back. You know, but he could have,
yeah.
You know,
and how many musicians actually that are actual really strong musicians and popular and famous musicians? How many musicians have they gone through or they've seen that has been sidelined by life? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
You know, whereas in, you know, music to me, and that's why I wanted to do this podcast. And you know, like I said, I do paranormal stuff and I do other stuff, spiritual stuff, but music has been a passion to me my whole life. And I remember buying my first Kiss album, you know, and it had Peter Criss on the cover, you know, and it was just, and I was 7 years old, you know, and I just thought that was where it was, know, and, but that's always been, you know, something that I've always wanted to do. So me being able to interview you guys is an honor for me to sit here in front of you and talk to you guys and, you know, pick your brains and, you know, find out where you guys want to go and the music you want to play and just the people you want to inspire. You know, it's just, that's where it's at to me, in my opinion. So where do you guys, while we're getting time to wrap it up, cause we're getting close to the hour. So, but I wanted to kind of finish this off a little bit with each of you trying to describe where you think this band's going.
So we do have some things lined up for shows.
Yeah. Any announcements you want to make, yes, you can do that here.
Give a couple of these local band shout outs.
Sure.
So first off, June 21st, we're going to debut what we're doing, mm-hmm. what we've been doing. It's going to be a live streamed event, but we're going to have people here, mm-hmm. like a little private event. But mm-hmm. everybody's going to be able to watch it. Mm-hmm. About 30 minutes, half hour set.
Yeah, and if you want, I could put that date on my page too, on YouTube as well.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to be streaming it from our YouTube channel,
okay.
and Facebook as well. At 8 p.m., right? June 21st.
Correct.
Yeah. And then July 4th, we're having a bash here. It's going to be our friend Pussfield, us, Bastards Asylum, our good friends and Nightmare Hippie Children, and our family fucking Squidhammer is mm-hmm. going to headline.
Nice.
If you guys don't know who those are, you should definitely go check.
You're
mm-hmm.
rocking Squidhammer
right now. Yeah,
Squidhammer.
Nice. And then August 23rd, we're going to be playing up at Studio 301 in Portage. Not sure about a time yet.
Portage, Wisconsin?
Yeah, Portage, Wisconsin. That's it for shows, but we're definitely going to start, I think, after the 4th. We're going to work on writing some more new material.
Okay.
We got merch coming.
Yeah, we got our first presses of shirt coming soon.
We got stickers now.
Awesome weatherproof stickers. And also our main goal of 2025, I would say, is to record our first EP and get it on disc.
Okay.
To sell to the masses.
Yeah, that's what we yep. really want. We
might and I definitely will help push that too on our on our page. So. Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I want to say is for the June 21st show, we're going to do our set we have right now. And we have one surprise for the July
4th. We do have a surprise for you guys.
Well, you heard that here, folks. Yeah, there's going to be a surprise on that set. So
for July 4th.
Nice.
You better be here.
Right. So I want to thank everybody. And I want to thank, gentlemen, thank you. This has been a great interview.
I suck.
You know what?
Way more you,
but
bro.
You know what? Totally, totally awesome. You know, so yeah. Everybody, you can check this out on YouTube, and this will be uploaded probably today, tonight, where you'll be able to listen to the audio clip of this whole episode wherever you get your podcast. So I want to thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
man. We love you, brother.
Man, I appreciate it.
We appreciate you, brother.
So, everybody, be cool. Stay out of trouble. And I will be back at another episode probably within a week or so. So, yeah, we can do it then.